It's 9 o'clock Mountain Time. It's a Wednesday. It's December 9th, 2020. Tom Eagleoff, your morning mayor at AM 1450 KMMS in Bozeman, Montana. And Shaman Tobin, half man, half amazing, is in Vancouver, British Columbia. And he's feeding back. There he goes. That's better. Well, it's another Wednesday. It's hump day, Shane. Happy to be here with you. Hey, don't forget, we're here every weekday at 9 a.m. Mountain Standard Time. Please share that with your friends and let them know we're here. Also, we're on the radio. We are on 8 to 11 every Saturday, Mountain Time. And click listen now at KMMSAM.com. You don't have to sign up for anything. You don't have to join anything. You don't have to leave any information of any kind. All you have to do is click on listen now and check us out. And don't forget, you can watch past shows at KMMSAM.com. Click on Tom and Shane's podcast, and please share that with your friends if you wouldn't mind. And, of course, if you're watching us on YouTube, please subscribe. Like us, comment on the podcast, and please share that with your friends. And Shane, I passed on a story yesterday that I probably shouldn't have, and that was our lead story today, Eric Swalwell and the Chinese gal that's raising all the money for Democrats in California. And this came out yesterday, but Tucker covered it last night on Fox News. And Eric's got himself in a little bit of a bind here. So,
well, it's pretty obvious from the story. They're not denying it. And of course, he's claimed he hasn't talked to her in 15 years. She came to the U.S., changed her name, went to college, got involved with local groups. So the story goes, started helping out Swalwell, who was a city councilman and had dreams of bigger things. So she started bundling money for him and getting him involved in the Asian community, and got him into Congress, and then recommended, after he got elected to the House, a staffer for him that clearly was a Chinese spy. And of course, the whole story is he bedded her, and as you said, Tucker covered it, and him questioning Comey in the hearing about, you know, the honeypot that Russia sets up, when here he was guilty of it himself. And he sits on the House Intelligence Committee, so he has access and clearance, you know, 5-level clearance to all the, you know, information in your country. And that goes along with the video Tucker showed last week of the Chinese professor pronouncing in a speech made live before a Chinese audience in Beijing that, you know, they have people in the highest levels of the United States on their payroll, and that they, you know, China's basically now positions itself to oversee and watch the U.S. So that's the concern I have, especially with TikTok and Huawei, what, you know, the Biden administration does with that, because as we all know, Trump went to great length to lock out Huawei to the rest of the world because of the access it would give China with Wi-Fi to all the information of Western civilization. So we'll see where that heads out. And you'd think that with that kind of story, he would be kaput. But apparently not in your Congress. It's okay to be involved in espionage as a congressman, but of course not as a president, because he still thinks Trump's a puppet of Russia. So the projection, accuse people of what you're doing. That's what it's not something that it was difficult to think up. He just figured, well, I'll accuse them of what I'm doing in case they figure it out and accuse me. I'll get to the front door first.
Yeah, there you are. Well, Craig's here. Morning, Tom. He's an idiot. Would have been better paying $130,000 to have sex with a porn star. Yeah, I should have done that. Well, what was he thinking, Shane? I don't know, but yeah, according to the story, he was unmarried at the time. He knew her from 2012 to 2015, so only 5 years ago. And She's had sexual relations with at least two Midwestern mayors, according to the story. And this kind of backs up what you were saying, Shane, with the Chinese guy, that they are infiltrating top ranks of the government. And, you know, kind of unbeknownst to these people that, you know, as long as you're helping me out, why would I think you have an ulterior motive? So I don't know.
Exactly. Especially with money. Yeah. It's a fascinating reality. You know, you look at your history, you go back to the McCarthy era, the Republican senator from Minnesota accusing everyone of being a Russian spy. And all these people were put on blacklists. And, it was a terrible time in your history, and here you are, repeating it once again with the left now. I mean, the Democrat political left is saying, you know, we got to put people on lists, and anyone that worked with Trump can't get a job, and we've got to investigate him when he leaves as president. And so, yeah, it's all a distraction. It's all meant to move away from Senator Feinstein and her 20-year, limo drivers spying on her, no responsibility, no accountability. And you'd think things like this that come up as a political nature and found to be true would cause somebody to resign. But of course, why would they do that? I mean, that would make them responsible. You know, that'd make them accountable. Oh my God, that would make them guilty, you know, like of treason. They're not going to do that.
No, we can't do that. That's not going to work very well. So, I don't think this is going anywhere. Obviously, I think she bailed out and went back to China, as far as I know. I don't think she's still.
Yeah, she did.
She's still not there.
She was under investigation and light and no one's seen
bailed,
her.
Yeah.
She's gone.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bailed, well, yeah. The Chinese got her.
Yeah. So, maybe she's in the Ukraine getting dope on Biden or Russia. One of the two. Yeah. We'll just send her to the next assignment. So who else can she get between the sheets? So we'll see.
There you go.
Yeah. All right. Go ahead. Yeah.
Well, you know, they keep talking about these situations with people gathering with regards to COVID as super spreaders. Well, this is a case, in fact, of a super spreader, right? Like, whoa. Yeah.
Super spreader of information, I guess we would say, huh? Well,
you're so good.
Supreme Court rejects.
Go ahead. Sorry.
Supreme Court rejects Republican plea to overturn Joe Biden's victory in Pennsylvania. And so they didn't even hear it. No dissent was published. So that probably means a 9-0 decision, I would guess. So.
Well, I don't think so. Alito considered it. He took it to the rest of the court. No. He converted himself. I think he had discussed it with him. And, you know, this is a case that has gone through the appellate court. So basically, you know, it's overriding the appellate court's decision. It's overriding precedent. Then the Supreme Court tends to look at something that's new and fresh. But this Texas case goes right to the, you know, right to the court because of Article 11, you know, about, other states interfering with another state. So they have to hear it.
Yeah.
And that's why, the Democrats have till Thursday, 3 o'clock to respond to the complaint from Texas. Other states are expected to join in on it. And, basically the bottom line is what goes on in other states can affect us. And that's not fair. And changing these rules and guidelines in the middle of an election isn't fair because, you know, it's not fair to the voters of Texas in this case, and this is one of the two routes that Trump's got left. vindication of this, of course, would be something to the effect that the judge, you know, the Supreme Court hears the arguments and says, okay, Constitution says Elections Day is a day. It's not a week. It's not a month. My God, they found 12 more votes yesterday in Upper New York, you know, in that congressional election where the Republicans did by 12. Wow. Here we are. Yeah. Right? And there's no, you know, it doesn't even make the story. It's, there's a story out there, but no one talks about it. So anyway, the bottom line is, you know, the best decision they could get on this Texas case is that, you know, they vacate anything after the close of the polls on the 3rd of December. It's a possibility. They have the power and probably would be the right thing to do until the states get this organized better with regards to mail-in voting and so forth. Mm-hmm.
Well, according to the article, the court, without comment, refused to call into question the certification process in Pennsylvania by voiding its mail-in ballots. No justice registered a dissent, suggesting that the decision could have been 9-0. Governor Tom Wolf already has certified Biden's victory, and the state's 20 electoral votes are the 20 electors are to meet on December 14th. That would be by advanced calculus 5 days from now. Cast their votes for Biden. Biden beat Trump by more than 80,000 in Pennsylvania, a state Trump had won in 2016. Most mail-in ballots were submitted by Democrats. You can, that's the thing with mail-in ballots. I guess they favor people who may not ordinarily go out and vote, but they got a ballot right there. All you got to do is drop in the mailbox and you're done. So I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, especially, you know, 2-4 times. That works out well. Yeah. The bottom line is the legislatures of each state have to, you know, elect the electors. So that's what will happen between now and the 5th. And we'll see how that goes. You know, as I said, I believe that Trump was following that track on his own, calling all these 29 legislators, 29 states that the Republicans, control the House and the Senate, each state to vote for the electors for him. We'll see what happens. And then, of course, you know, you have the other possibility, and that's the Electoral Court Act of 1887, and a congressman from down south, I think Louisiana, is going to argue that on the floor of the House when the joint session meets on the 5th or 6th after everyone's sworn in the new House and Senate this coming January, to argue that the House should take up whether or not to accept certain states. And with 27 states now, based on, the 11th amendment of the 14th amendment of your constitution, that would be voted by state. You know, each state would represent a single vote in these decisions. So we'll see how that goes. There's a slim, and, you know, like they said in 16, he had no route to victory, but he got there. And this year it just flipped. And, Biden, they say, carried the same states Trump did. And the numbers, you know, basically the same that from that election, 226 to 306. So we'll see. I mean, there's a couple of weeks left, but we knew this 4 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago, whatever it was. We've just been following.
Well, they've got 5 days, I guess, till the electors start sitting down voting. So if there's going to be any changes made to the electoral college vote, that needs to happen pretty quickly. And, we reported yesterday, he already talked to House leader in Pennsylvania about, changing the votes or whatever. And I don't think that went anywhere. So that's where we are.
Yeah, it's up in the air. We'll see where it goes. And, as you said, we're December 9th, and the Electoral College has basically been established as of December 5th. Mm-hmm. And now the 15th, legislatures have till the 15th, I believe it is, to elect their electors. Yeah. So we'll see where that is. That's next week. And we'll be live statewide on 17th and 18th next week, folks. in the morning for 3 hours to discuss these things. So hope you join us. And we hope you'll get your friends and neighbors to join our podcast. We want to stay on, but you know, we don't seem to be talking about, I guess, the right things or saying the right things because we can't get off the ground. Tom's done a great job of advertising on the platforms on social media to, you know, gather some new audience. And we're very grateful for the audience we have. But if you can help us, we'd like to stay longer. And we started this on the 6th of April this year. But heading into the new year doesn't look like a good prospect for us because, you know, we should be at several hundred people right now and we aren't even close. But we'll make a bold effort here for the next 2-3 weeks and see what happens.
Yeah, there you are. All right. Our next story. Well, Nevada's Supreme Court threw out the demand to overturn Biden's victory as well. So that's another kind of kick in the pants for Trump that Nevada just ruled, I guess, this morning or yesterday, that they are not going to overturn the election. So once again, another, you know, wasn't a lot of electoral votes in Nevada, but Trump needs all of them. So, you know, that's.
Yeah, I believe Nevada was 11. I'd have to look, but I'm pretty sure it's 11. Yeah.
Yeah. Something like that. Yeah. It's not 20 or it's not Pennsylvania or Michigan or Georgia or any of these others. So
it might be 10. Arizona. Arizona's 11.
I don't remember, but, another defeat for him. So, they seem to be mounting up, and the closer we get to these electoral voters being seated and voting, the less chance he's going to have, because I think after that, you know, he's pretty well done, I would think. I don't think he's got anywhere else to go.
Well, we've covered it. Yeah, what's your next comment?
What, you want another story?
I think the listeners would.
Here's another interesting story going around. The New York Attorney General predicts that Trump will step down from the presidency before January 20th, and Pence will pardon him. And I don't know, does Pence want to be another Gerald Ford or not? I don't know if he wants that or
this guy's an idiot. Look, if Trump's going to do this, which he should, he wants to make a speech out of it on national television and from the Oval Office and you know, use the historical reference to Ford and what Ford said. Mm-hmm. About pardoning it. So we got to end it. This is over. We're done.
Yeah.
We don't need this to continue. And I don't want this to continue with the future government and with regards to my family. And I quite honestly don't want to be continuously harassed either. I've done nothing wrong. They couldn't prove it. Spent millions of dollars to try to. And, you know, I'm still being attacked at the state level. This is only a federal pardon. It only covers federal action that can be taken against me, my family, and these other friends of mine. And it's got to end so we can move on. And so tonight, I just want everyone in America to know that I'm not guilty of anything. I just, I don't need to go back to being a private citizen and constantly under attack by politicians in the swamp in Washington. So I'm pardoning myself, my children, my friends, my grandchildren. These 30 people are all full of complete pardons. And thank you very much. God bless America. Have a good evening. And see you in 4 years. Yeah, you know, because best thing that he thinks he could do, knowing Trump, not show up for inauguration because it's not legitimate. And, you know, have a press conference announcing he's going to run for president in 2024. Pence isn't going to want to, you know, pardon him. No, that'd be the end of his career. He wants to run for president after.
That's what I'm thinking. That isn't going to work. So, if Trump runs in 2024, whether he'll keep Pence or not, we won't know for another 4 years. I guess it depends on what happens in the interim there, or if he runs at all. But anyway, this back in 1974, there was a Department of Justice memo that stated Nixon couldn't pardon himself, so Ford had to do it. But apparently today he would be able to pardon himself for any federal crimes. He would not be pardoned for anything at a state level. So you know, if they want to press taxes or, you know, some of these other things, they could certainly do that. So you know, on a state level, Lower New York or whatever's been after him for tax returns and everything since inauguration day of 2016. So whether that goes anywhere or
that's right, you're reiterating what I said. And mm-hmm. you know, yeah, that act would move forward, and any other, you know, civil matters as well as criminal ones at the state level, he can't be protected from unless he gets a pardon from the governor of that specific state. He's not going to get that from Cuomo. So he's going to already be spending, you know, several hundred million dollars in those cases. And that's for him, that's okay. It's just a write off anyway. So he gets to write it off. So,
yeah. So, well, you know, pardons, obviously with Nixon, he had committed, you know, crimes, I guess. You know, a pardon was justified there, I guess. Well, it was justified by the American people or not. I don't know. But anyway, as you said, for this thing to go on and for Nixon to go to court and whatever, would have gone on forever. So, Ford was, I would say, between a rock and a hard place.
It's not just that, you know, I think it's enough that a president resigns from office, being the first one, you know, so he's got a legacy for in your history books.
Yeah.
But more importantly, you know, sending him to jail, you know, I don't know. You really become a banana republic if you start sending a past president to jail or, you know, trying to convict him off to jail. You know, that's why, you know, the balance of what you've been saying for a couple of years about the Clintons and Comey and all these other guys, they're not going to prosecute him and throw him in jail. It's just, you know, it doesn't look good. You know, the past head of the FBI, the CIA, the NSA, you know, they end up in jail. It destroys confidence in your system. Not that there's much confidence left, but you know, it just doesn't work. So,
yeah, where does it end up? So.
Yeah.
Well, that's what we're looking at. So, well, in other news, the House passes a massive defense bill with a veto-proof majority, and a couple things that were in this, Shane, that we need to talk about, I guess, Trump wanted the 230 out of the or. Added to that, and they wouldn't accept that, so that went away. That's the article that protects social media from being sued by anything that someone puts up on, you know, on their platform. So.
And or the reverse, them, you know, exercising this publishing right to, you know, remove anything someone puts up there because of the First Amendment. So. Mm-hmm. That wouldn't go well with them. They'd end up settling a lot of lawsuits. You know, class action suit would be a multi-billion dollar loss to them. So they don't want to go there.
Yeah, no, they're not gonna go there. So, I was trying to find that story because there was a couple things in there that let's see. They passed with a 335-78 bipartisan vote. They passed 741 billion defense policy as part of the measure. The names of the Confederate fighters will be dropped from military bases. Vietnam era veterans exposed to Agent Orange will receive new benefits. And, you know, those are two of the biggies, I guess, are in there. So I know Trump didn't want to particularly sign this because of he didn't want the base names changed. I think we have a history and, you know, all of those things. So, yeah, that's where we are.
It doesn't matter anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, it really doesn't
matter anymore when you're when you're in a social revolution, which is this is, you know, your country's in a world of hurt. You know, people are going to have all kinds of situations that you've developed that you've seen in the last couple of weeks with the COVID lockdown that seem right and clearly are unfair. You know, a judge that yesterday in Los Angeles, you know, shut down this, you know, this order to close restaurants in California because they didn't come up with any information to show there's no science. And you know, when you have a gal, you know, showing, you know, a movie set being catered and 20 feet from her restaurant outdoor facility, and you know, once people start fighting back, you know, they tend to get a response if they don't from the politicians. If the media is willing to cover the story, they get a response.
Well, let me help you out here, Shane, with we talk about these social warriors and a homeowner in St. Anthony, Minnesota, got an anonymous letter that criticized the Christmas lights. Now, their yard didn't resemble the Vegas Strip. They didn't have lights all over the place. But anyway, the gist of the letter, the idea of twinkling colorful lights are a reminder of divisions that continue to run through our society. A reminder of systemic biases against our neighbors who don't celebrate Christmas or who can't afford to put up lights of their own. And and the lights are harmful. Unless someone in the neighborhood has a photophobia or a bulb catches fire, there's nothing harmful about Christmas decorations. So, but that shows you how far we've come. Once again, the war on Christmas beginning early, I guess. But man, oh man.
Well, and you know, again, here we go. Someone makes a comment and lack of knowledge, you know, call it stupid, whatever you want it is. Mm-hmm. They don't sell the old fashioned lights that you and I put up with the little bulbs. Yeah. They sell LED lights. They don't generate any heat.
Yeah.
They're plastic. I have a nephew that puts up 100 strings in our yard. I mean, it looks like Disneyland out there right now. So
he's
got the blow up. He's got the orb with the Frosty the Snowman and snow, you know, falling inside. And, you know, he's got other decorate, you know, Olaf. He's got a 6 or 7 or 8 foot Olaf outside. And, you know, none of this is anything, you know, over what we used to have. Certainly when it comes to the use of electricity, because, you know, electricity is expensive and it should be because there's not a lot of it. But, it's a sad complaint and you'll see more of it, you know, because keep in mind, once again, you know, the Republican people are faith-based religious people. And, you know, the Democrat Party is secular. They don't believe in a greater God. They believe only in mankind. And that's where they're going to go. They don't want all it. The funny thing is that I want to see is, will they still allow the holidays?
Well, we can't
celebrate Christmas and we can't celebrate Thanksgiving, but you still get the federal holiday. So, you get that day off.
Yeah.
We don't want you working more than you should.
Yeah. Right.
We don't want you working at all.
Yeah, while you're not at work, you get that day off too. So that you got that going for you. So, Jim wants to know.
You know, the guy that ran for president that said math. He wore the math button, and basically, you know, this is Yang 2.1, and so far, you know, they should, you know, they're looking at this going, well, he gave us a great idea, and it's working really well. So looks like, you know, we can spend into infinity and pay people whether they work or not. Doesn't matter to us. If we can keep these people unemployed that work for you know, Republican small businesses, you know, we can wipe the party out and their businesses. Oh, boy, that's a twofer.
Yeah. Well, Andrew Yang had the right idea, I guess. So Jim wants to know, what crimes is Trump accused of committing? And I don't know of any other than the lower New York was going after him for taxes. But I mean, they could only go after him for state taxes if he's pardoned. So
that's right. That, to my knowledge, that's principally the only action taken. I think also too that one of the reasons he moved from New York to Florida was to protect his assets at Mar-a-Lago. Oh, sure.
Yeah,
as we discussed. Yeah, any action taken by your federal government against you personally, if you live in the state of Florida. They can't touch your home, your personal home, or anything in it. So Mar-a-Lago is a nice place to the rest of your life, and no one can take it from them, not even the federal government or state government, for any reason. So that, number one. Number two, it's a bit more difficult to pursue someone that's out of state from a state action. It just becomes more costly, particularly if you don't carry through on it, because at the end of the day, by rights, under law, particularly in New York, the plaintiff, or the defendant rather in this case, not the plaintiff, that's the state, but the plaintiff could, you know, sue for costs. So boy, you know, if you spend all this time going after him, can't find anything, and you'd think he'd lawyered up well enough to cover himself in all these business dealings he's done and so forth. Bottom line is they don't find anything. They could end up, they very well would probably end up having to pay back all of his legal fees. That won't be too cheap, you know. So I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah. Well, Craig says, Shane, you become a banana republic when you steal people's votes and throw them out so you can retain power. Well, Trump's not doing anything of the kind. That would be up to the courts. President can't willy-nilly, as they do in Venezuela and Russia and China and, you know, other Cuba. They can't just throw out votes because they don't like them. We do have a constitution. We do have a court system. And you can't steal an election unless you bring evidence, credible evidence, to a court, and the court agrees with that evidence. So until that happens,
Craig,
nothing is stolen.
Craig needs to go to the Democratic National Committee, you know, teaching class about projecting. Good try, Craig. You know, you're projecting exactly what the Democrats are doing, as is the case that, you know, the woke media has made this reference. You know, they're the ones who have come up with this narrative. And there's not one example of Trump taking any votes from anyone. So, guys, you know, it's just good job, Craig. Bad example, you know, but good job. Good job to throw that out there so everybody sees how ridiculous that kind of accusation is. But
yeah. Anyway. Well, also, too, we didn't see any Biden, you know, challenging red states for their count. And
there hasn't been any example at all. Yeah, that's right.
Well, if there had been, let's assume for the sake of arguments, if the ballot box was stuffed for Trump in red states and stuffed for Biden in blue states, if I'm the Democrats and I'm winning, I'm going to just forget about those, you know, voter irregularities in Iowa or Nebraska or Oklahoma. You know, I'm not even going to bother with those because we ended up, you know, we didn't need those states to win. So I think Biden's over the 270s, not to the 306 till they, you know, do the whole thing. But with Nevada kicked in there and Pennsylvania kicked in there, I think he's over the 270 mark, whether or not he gets to the full 306 or not.
This Texas case that the Supreme Court will hear, you know, so
they said they won't hear it.
That's the Pennsylvania case, Tom. So the Supreme Court's hearing the Texas case. They have the Democratic Party has till Thursday at 3 to file a response, And then there'll probably be hearings on it either Friday, or might be over the weekend, but there'll be a hearing by, before the full court over the, you know, sometime within 3 or 4 days of that filing. And the arguments will be made about five states. So the action Texas is taking is about five states. It's about, Arizona. I don't think it's Arizona, but it's Nevada, Michigan, Wisconsin, Wisconsin. Yeah, it is. It's Arizona, Nevada, Wisconsin, Michigan, and Pennsylvania. So that's what it's over.
Well, the justices rejected it after Texas Republican Ken Paxton launched. Hang on. Jeez, okay. Lighten up.
Go ahead. Make a fool of yourself. Go ahead.
Justices rejected it after Texas Republican Ken Paxton launched a lawsuit to try to void the popular vote in Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin, and Georgia. The Supreme Court does not have to consider the move, which comes after a stream of defeats for Trump and his allies. Paxton is under FBI investigation over bribery and abuse of his office, and a donor has admitted an affair with a state aide. So
that's a totally different case that's been filed by someone in Texas. It's, we're not talking about the same thing, but that's okay.
Well, it's the
I'm
one
not
the
talking
Supreme
about
Court,
that case.
The Supreme Court rejected
I'm not talking
it.
About that.
Yeah.
Well, fine. I know that. I'm not talking about that case. That's not the case I'm talking about. So.
Yeah. Well, they kicked out the Pennsylvania case, too.
Great. But that's not the case I'm talking about. So
okay.
It doesn't matter.
Well, I thought we were talking about the Pennsylvania case.
Nope. We already talked about it, and that's gone. And we're not talking about the Paxton case. That's gone. We're talking about the Attorney General and State of Texas and several other state attorney generals that have filed the case. It's been accepted by the Supreme Court. They told the Democrats yesterday they had till Thursday at 3 o'clock to file their response, and the full court will take it up and hear arguments.
All right.
And it's about the amendment and states' rights and the effect of other states on in this regard with regard to the election. So we'll see what they decide.
All right. Well, what's a little censorship between friends, huh? Censorship. YouTube will remove any videos disputing the 2020 presidential election. What do you think? Are we going to be kicked off here with if we dispute the 2020 election, or if any of our comments do that? Do you think?
No, it's, you know, corporate America and the Democratic Party are setting up an oligarchy. And so you should expect censorship to occur. They've already justified it with, you know, this whole cancel culture. You know, that was coming politically. Now it comes through business. So basically it's cancel culture. So censorship, cancel culture, same word, different meanings, of course. So they're not synonyms, really. Well, it's sort of a synonym. But you're going to expect more of this from Facebook and Twitter, and I suspect that Rumble and Parler will advance quickly to a more sustained state and be able to compete with these companies, and we'll see where that goes. And you know, the whole point is that the existing platforms will do what they can, even maybe buy Rumble or Parler to get them out of the way. But let's not forget about TikTok. Don't forget about Huawei. Very scary stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is going to be something to keep an eye on as we go through this whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, I don't know. The censorship is getting a little out of control here. We do have a First Amendment. You know, we do have free speech, even if you don't like it, you know, even if you don't like the speech. But, well, that's what I'm saying. Apparently we've lost the First Amendment because you can't worship anywhere. You know, you can go to a casino, you can go to a bar. Yeah.
You can no longer gather. So,
yeah. Yep. And I guess you don't,
that was easy.
You aren't able to, address your grievances either, apparently. So I don't know.
Yeah. When it's worse than slippery slope. When your First Amendment's wiped out, the newly elected city attorney for L.A. made a 10-minute speech yesterday. No bail. He's going to open the prisons. No death penalty. He's not going to prosecute anybody for low-grade crimes, shoplifting, meandering, theft. The next round of the burning, rioting and stuff, 2.1, will be the peaceful people that will be out probably demonstrating in large numbers and being attacked, resulting in confrontations with Antifa and Black Lives Matter, and be sensationalized by your media to push more of it, so they have more streaming time, because they got to fill the time with something, and bad is better than good, because gosh, when was the last time you saw a good story in the media? And they don't want to see firemen saving cats,
Well, and also too, they mentioned this morning that Obama, I think, was 308 days or something like that before he had a press conference, and they don't expect Biden to have any press conferences. He's not gonna wander over and talk to the press on his way to wherever he has to go, in Air Force One, and
press conference with him. New cabinet, and he announced his secretary for human health services and couldn't even pronounce the guy's name and didn't even know who he was. And turns out he's now the attorney general of California. He was the assistant attorney general under Kamala, but he became the attorney general of California, and he's a pro-choice guy in California. So Here we go, folks. Now abortion will not just be enhanced, but the government will pay for it, and more babies will die, and your population dynamic in the United States will start to collapse even more, particularly for minorities like African Americans.
Yeah,
the numbers are staggering, but they don't want to talk about them. And oh, by the way, keep in mind, These vaccines, particularly the one that Pfizer's developed, they come from material from fetuses that they're using to create this stem cells. NRA for your stem cell. Thank you very much. Stem cells. I mean, that's where the research came from.
Jim is asking, Shane, I think the vigilantism will have a sharp increase in California. Well, it's kind of already started, James. A lot of these places, they're not going to put up with it. They're going to accept the fines, and there's no science behind anything to do with these restaurants or gyms or anything else that they're super spreader places. There's no science to back that up. No science to back up that schools are an issue if you have your kids in school. So, after 8 months, we pretty well know that these two or three or four places, I mean, if you can open bars, why can't you open restaurants or casinos?
Oh, because COVID's smart. Because COVID's smart. It affects people and 10 o'clock at night. Yeah, James, look up vigilante. You'll see one of the principal definitions of it is breaking the law without being charged. And, breaking the law, believing that you won't be charged by the government. And so basically what you saw all summer was vigilanteism, burning, looting, destruction of property, personal, private, corporate property, even government property. So vigilantism you're speaking of, it's already been going on and will continue. And anytime people don't agree with what the Democratic Party, Biden, the House, Pelosi, and perhaps Schumer in the Senate, they'll just call out the rioters and the looters and say, they'll say Black Lives Matter. Blow the whistle, boys. We need some action in the streets, okay? That's where you're headed. You're watching the collapse of your republic, and should have been stopped in March or April when it started by the Insurrection Act, but your attorney, I mean, your Secretary of Defense refused to do so in April. So,
Yep.
End of story.
Well, the White House has made a proposal, $916 billion relief package, $600 stimulus checks. Once again, we're passing out money to folks. Shane, let's see. That was on Tuesday. Mnuchin offered a $916 billion pandemic stimulus from the White House to the Democrats, which includes some funding for state and local governments, a top priority for Democrats, and liability protection for businesses, hospitals, and schools, a must-have for Republicans. There is a bipartisan group of lawmakers working on a $908 billion compromise plan, and it's unclear if the White House proposal will affect discussions for that package. So we'll see where that goes, if it gets anywhere. McConnell is still asking for, hey, send me something the president will sign. You know, that's all we have to do is send something that the president will sign.
Like everything else, Pelosi puts her hand near or touches, you know, this has become a political disaster for her. She should resign after her comment this week that they didn't approve any kind of a package for the American people before the election because they didn't want to give them a win. That's what she said. I didn't say this. I didn't make it up. This isn't a made up story or conspiracy. She had a press conference. And of course, this is after 3 months ago. Remember this, 3 months ago in October, President Trump offered $1.8 trillion on the table for her. And now she has to take a $600 or $700 billion bill because she's made a fool of herself, like she does every day, getting up in front of a microphone. And you know, this won't be forgotten by the American people. This is one thing they'll remember in 2 years when she loses another 20 seats in the House and is gone, if she's not gone before that. But we'll see. The woman's an idiot. Absolutely.
Yeah, she's a boy. I don't know. If you talk about Biden being senile, she's awful close to being the other poster child for it, I guess. So,
and the media covered, the media covered her ass too. You know, all this bullshit about, oh, she's a great fundraiser and she knows how to do this and she knows how to herd the cats. Crap. All shift. It's a shift pile. And the reason it's a shift pile is because the Democrat Party is the party of wealth and country club and billionaires and monopolists. And, she doesn't raise any money. Other people that know these guys from Twitter and Google and Facebook, you know, they make a call to them and it goes down the line. They got their own, site set up to, everybody, commit and they put in whatever legally they can to PACs or individual congressmen. And this is not magic. It's just bot politics, which they've accused and projected on the Republicans, for 50 years. Trump turned that around. Now it's a party of the small person, the middle class, the individual worker, the individual owner, the person that powers the economy. The people that are in charge of private sector jobs, at one point, 126 million of 160 million employed in your country. We harp on this. It's important because that 81% of the people that, are employed in your country, they're going after. Mm-hmm. So, China's near to or will very well take over as the largest economy in the world. If they can get Chinese people to invest or buy real estate, they can't yet. They're still putting it in the bank for nothing. They're in a big way loss, as we talked a couple of weeks ago. Their debt to equity ratio of the country is 335%. I mean, that's ungodly. But they have a new country. They rebuilt it, and now they need to pay for it somehow. Good luck.
Yeah, good luck with that. Oh man, I don't know. Well, let's see. They've started giving injections overseas, but apparently they have a problem with some folks who have allergies to certain things, Shane. And here we are with these allergies maybe creating some side effects of these folks here that are having a tough time over there taking these antibiotics.
Well, that's right. And the efficacy of all of these vaccines you have to be concerned with. Polio or smallpox was huge, 94%.
Yeah.
Or yeah, it's 90, no, excuse me, 99%. 99%, curable, which is why they wiped out smallpox and chickenpox and even polio. They were well over 95. But these are first-time examples. And regrettably, they ran for a long time. Don't forget the COVID first disease, which was the Spanish flu, and everyone talks about it. It was around for almost 4 years, 3.5 years. And the only result of it was herd immunity because there was nothing else. So it went around the planet four times over the course of 4 years and wiped out 500 million people. And a third of the population, because at that time the population was like 1.5 billion. And there you go. I mean, numbers talk. Those are the numbers.
That's
No one
right.
wants to talk about H1N1, and we've talked about it. That's actually the last huge global pandemic because it infected 1.4 billion people in 2009. But no one wants to talk about it because Biden was a vice president and he was in charge of it. And you don't want to go there. That doesn't fit the narrative.
Yeah. Well, regulators are urging people with a history of significant allergies, and it doesn't specify what allergies there are, not to have the injection. And in the vaccine trial, Pfizer tested 100 or 19,000 people. 137 had a reaction to the vaccine, so a less than 1% or 1% of 1%.
Well, the thing about these trials, they've had 32,000 people, the Pfizer one, or 31,000. They won't give you the age group, how many.
Yeah.
Look, they all talk about the science. Okay, science, anyone under 50, 98.8% recoverable, no impact. You're asymptomatic, or your system, whatever, systemic or whatever the word is, asymmetric or whatever. No, look, this is people over 65, my age, your age. They're the ones, and that's why the gal that got it in England first was 68 years old, and everybody clapped and yay, yay, yay. And she tells everyone, "If I can do this, you should do it too." Well, first of all, they're not going to have enough vaccine for, 6 months. They got to take care of the top line 50 million people, including, 69 million people on Social Security in your country. It's a lot of people. So right there is 140, vials, or I mean, excuse me, 140 do million doses. And then you have your first line, and you have your emergency people and hospital people and so forth. And I'm, people of science, and I've talked to a lot of them, they're not going to take it because of the nature of it. It's they want to see the efficacy of it over a year, maybe even 2 years before they'll take it. Then, there you
Yeah,
go.
it's whether or not it's mandatory to take it to keep your job. I don't even know if that's legal or not. We'd have to hear from legal experts on that as to whether they can force you to inoculate. I'm not sure what the rules are in hospitals as far as flu shots or pneumonia shots or anything like that. I'm sure there are probably some healthcare workers that aren't are not big vaccine folks. So not sure where that
Well,
would go.
you're going to have governor. But come on, Tom. You know this. We both do. You're going to have Democratic governor ordering people to take it. This already happened. We've seen it with everything else that's gone on in the last several months about these, governors arbitrarily making, signing an executive order, state executive order, whatever you want to call it. and making demands of the people that live in their state. So the bottom line is that they need to get this out because they need to save the pharmaceutical companies because, you know, this first act that Trump now kicks in on the 1st of January is going to bleed them. It's going to bleed them. And this all about numbers. This is not just political. It's corporate numbers. That'll be interesting if the Biden administration cancels that by executive order, because, you know, there'll be 20 days of it for people to see that the cost of drugs, you know, they may not drop them for 20 days in the hopes that he'll drop this the deal that Trump. But, you know, yesterday Trump ordered or made a proclamation, signed a executive order saying Americans should get the medication first. Why? Because all of a sudden Pfizer is selling to England and Canada and other countries because the U.S. hasn't approved it yet. So they have to have an out in their agreement with the U.S. that says, hey, we'll do all this and guarantee these as long as, you know, other countries haven't approved it before you, because if they do, we have a right to sell it to them if they can. So at $20 a pop, a million people, hey, that's a pretty good day. That's a pretty good day. The Americans are claiming they're going to do a million. They're going to do a million vaccinations a day to get the entire 300 million people done. And of course, Biden wants to take credit for it already, saying he's got this big plan. Well, all I have to do is add up the numbers that you listened to yesterday in the news conference of what they're going to do under President Trump and how many people are going to vaccinate. Oh, oddly enough, that's the same number that Biden's referencing he's going to do. So, it's all politics. It's all,
He wants 100 million people vaccinated in the first 100 days of his presidency.
Well, it's already done.
It's already done.
Trump's already ran.
No, I understand that. I'm just telling you what he said the other day. You know, whether it's right or wrong.
I know, that's what I just said.
So that'll be 200 million doses since it's a two-shot deal.
That's just Pfizer. Johnson & Johnson and Moderna are one. Moderna is a two-shot. Johnson & Johnson is one. Lilly is coming out with a one-shot deal too. So two companies, one shot, two companies, two shots. But they're different types of vaccination.
They are,
Eli Lilly and Johnson & Johnson are predicated on the old protocol of a vaccine. Pfizer and Moderna created on this new protocol.
The old way is to introduce a small amount of the virus to you and let your body develop antibodies to it. So that was the old way. Well, Moderna, they go before the FDA, I think, a week after Pfizer does. And I'm not sure when.
October. No. They've been in front of the FDA's. The FDA's had this from both companies since October when they requested emergency use. We talked about it. I can give you the specific date. And, you know, the FDA has been sitting on it politically just because they're the FDA. They're, you know, they hate Trump. It's a swamp. They don't want to do anything. You know, they would love to put this off until the 20th of January if they thought they could get away with it. But no, the media in this case won't let them. Too many people are dying and getting infected.
As I said, Pfizer went before the FDA. They're going to get approval on the 11th or 12th or somewhere in there, I think. They go before
them. Probably this week, Thursday or Friday. They got to move on now because it's happening. You know, other countries are now approving it and, you know, making, you know, the FDA look, you know, what it is, you know, a foolish bureaucracy that doesn't, you know, it's basically run by a bunch of outlaws. You know, they're just out there killing people. The FDA is killing people.
Yeah. And Moderna is scheduled a week later for their approval to go national.
Well, the FDA is supposed meeting to review the final numbers are a week.
Yeah.
It's all these are meetings the FDA has announced.
Yeah. Yeah. That's all I'm saying. They're going to meet next week.
I know. I'm just
Fine, that's
I'm
long.
Just adding content to it. Sorry, I got I wasn't paying attention.
Yeah. All right. Well, as long as we're
apologizing for the woman who said it's 9 o'clock,
I understand. The Thanksgiving COVID surge is here, Shane. Things don't look good. So the hospitals and whatever.
This has nothing to do with Thanksgiving. This has nothing to do with Thanksgiving. This was evolving way before Thanksgiving. And they'll use this to create more fear and justify more shutdowns. And the bottom line is sheltering people in, shutting down is what's causing all this. Okay. You're far better off. You're safer to get outside, go for a walk, stay away from your family, probably wear a mask in the house because that's where all of this is happening. 68% of the people who end up with the COVID virus is the result of being in-house, sheltered in with other family members, one of which has brought it into the house, is asymptomatic, whatever the word is, and then gives it to somebody else. So, the science, these are the numbers they're telling us. I'm not making this up, and, it's just it's state control, all right? You don't live in a meritocracy anymore, where people holding power on the basis of their ability is in play. There's no personal responsibility. It's gone, finished. They wanted to get rid of it. They don't want the individual to exist without the state.
Well, I'd agree with that. Whether you want to blame it on Thanksgiving or little green men from Mars, the gist is that 2,534 Americans. I'm talking. 2,534 Americans died. Hospitalizations hit a record 104,600, and infections rose in 36 states. So whether you want to blame it on Thanksgiving or, whatever, it's still, the numbers are still there.
It's a natural occurrence, folks. This is where herd immunity comes in. 6 months ago, 9 months ago, no one wanted to talk about it. Now, even Dr. Fauci or whatever, fake Fauci, this last week he says, if we can get 200 million people vaccinated by spring or summer, then herd immunity will kick in. What did he just say? Herd immunity. Now it comes into play. Yeah, because if you can get enough people vaccinated, then herd immunity should take. Yeah, come on. These people, really?
I know.
Seriously, no one under 50 needs a vaccine. The pharmaceutical companies need them to take it, because they're manufacturing it and they need the money. So, science or money, folks, either way, it doesn't matter because the government's going to pay for it anyway. So, if you want to just make sure you go in and get the vaccine and take you probably have more risk of a reaction to the vaccine than you do to COVID. So here we go again. The disease can't be worse than the cure.
The crime. That's true. Well, another Santa has been arrested. Well, the first Santa you heard, no guns for the kid, no Nerf gun for the kid in the that they went viral on
the mall,
social media. Yeah, in the mall. And the Santa, of course, is fired. The kid got the Nerf gun and whatever. So, all is well, I guess. But anyway.
I didn't need a Santa. When I was 7 years old in 1962, my brothers and I were playing with guns and shooting in Indian cowboys in Billings, Montana, sure. Beth Drive. Yeah. And my 70-year-old grandfather, who was a hero of World War I, 49th Highlanders out of Ontario, and the first infantry to follow tanks into World War I and got terribly wounded, came out to our backyard and walked up to all of us, grabbed our guns, broke them, and then sat down with us and talked to us about his experience in World War I and why guns are a terrible thing. So there you go. After that, I played with Tinker Toys, built little cities, and up in the corner of our yard with ditch water, and had fun playing with Tinker Toys and building blocks and whatever. So there you go.
Oh, yeah. Well, we had BB guns when we were in grade school.
Well, we had to have BB guns because we had rattlesnakes, so it was sort of important. Yeah.
So there you are. Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
But,
well, anyway.
It was explained to us. If it can kill a rattlesnake, it can take your eye out. So
that's true.
You didn't exactly go shooting.
Yeah. Yeah. You're never going to get shot in the arm with a BB gun. You're going to get shot in the eye.
Now, I was 9 years old when my dad. Well, I was 9 years old when my dad put a 410 shotgun, single shotgun, mm-hmm. in my hands out hunting and said, "Okay, we're going over this ridge. Take aim at a duck and fire." You know, and that was the first time I fired a gun. And I've been firing guns since I was 10. So that was 1965. So it's a life-changing experience. You can't say anything about guns unless you've pulled a trigger. Mm-hmm. Period.
Yeah. Well, that's how it goes, you know. So, Wisconsin Democrat governor says no Christmas tree in the Capitol Rotunda. We can't have that crap going on. So, can't have a Christmas tree in there. So, but anyway, this particular Santa, his name is Prince Carter. He's 45. He's black. He's a black Santa. Not that it matters, but. He was charged with third-degree sexual assault. He working as a Santa in a mall at Milford, Connecticut, I guess, and allegedly grabbed a teenage coworker and exposed himself to her in a break room. That's Santa activity at its best, you know, Shane. When that happens, it's just. But I don't know. I guess diversity, you have to hire Santas of all colors. I guess we got Asian Santas, black Santas, white Santas, I don't know, Samoans, Russians, Japanese, who knows? You know, but it does.
Dana Marina, is that her name on the five, the press secretary for Bush? Anyway, she made a great analogy. The young blonde gal that's married to the British guy that was the press secretary for Bush, Dana Marina, whatever. She was on the five yesterday. Great analogy of a bingo card, you know, that, you know, Biden's basically looking at a bingo card to pick people for his cabinet. And here's a perfect example as another analogy. This is like a bingo card. How is this going to be handled? Well, the woke media's narrative is going to be, shouldn't have any Santas. This is terrible. All Santas should be removed from the mall.
Right. Yeah.
This is just. And then, of course, the other angle will be Black Lives Matter will be, you know, out burning the mall because, you know, they attacked a black man. And, you know, this is typical white privilege, and having a white Santa in a mall is white privilege. And who knows what Santa is? Santa could be Asian, you know, black, you know, Hispanic. It doesn't have to be a Caucasian. Yes, you know, it's got all kinds of legs on this story. You know, I don't know if it'll get picked up nationally, but it probably is on the internet.
Well, I don't know if we want to talk about this one or not. Texas serial killer, healthcare worker, tied to at least 24 deaths, is now formally charged with 17 murders of elderly people who he smothered to death before robbing them. And that's in Texas. So Dallas County grand jury. He is black, and So he's a Kenyan.
Well, in California, in California, you wouldn't be charged with anything because you know that in California they think that people, minorities, or poor people, it'd be mercy killing or euthanasia or whatever they'd probably justify.
Well, they do have new DA sworn in that is going to do away with bail and all the other things that are going on. All right, I think we're out of time, Shane. Hey, don't forget, we are on here every weekday at 9 a.m. Mountain Time, Facebook Live, YouTube Live. And of course, we're on radio on Saturdays, 8 to 11, 3 hours of limited interruption radio. And you can listen to us anywhere in the world at KMMSAM.com. You don't have to sign anything, join anything, leave any kind of information at all. All you have to do is click listen now at KMMSAM.com between those hours, and you'll get us. And also, we're, of course, on Facebook and YouTube live every weekday at 9 a.m. Mountain Time. So please share that with your friends. And we have past shows at KMMSAM.com. So if you missed any of our videos or audio, you can check them out over there. We're over 6,100 downloads of our shows. And if you're watching on YouTube, please subscribe. Ring the little notification bell down there under the video. And like us, comment on the podcast, and please share that with your friends. So thanks for watching and listening, and say goodbye, Shane.
I will indeed. Thank you, everyone. Try and help us out. We need more people participating. And so don't forget the 17th and 18th will be on for 3 hours. So we won't be doing this show because we'll be doing the show on. So we'll be doing the show on KMMS AM 4 hours on the 17th and 18th. That's a big wind up for us for the weekend of the 19th, Saturday.
Yep.
Be happy, be safe, live in the moment, because that's what it is. Life is moment to moment. So live in that moment, stand out, enjoy it. Live to work so you come home happy to your family. Do a job that you enjoy. Don't work for the man if it doesn't make you happy. And bless everyone in the United States and Canada. We're all very fortunate to live in the two greatest country clubs in the world. And here's a kiss and a wish of Christmas joy to all.
All right. All right, everyone. Thanks for listening. Thanks for all the comments. Thanks for the being here. We really appreciate it. And we hope you'll join us tomorrow. Mike McCormick will join us tomorrow on Thursday. Money guru. We'll be talking about markets and all that kind of stuff. So by all means, you definitely will not want to miss that. So by all means, check that out. And we'll see everybody bright and early tomorrow at 9 a.m.